Welcome to All Things Folk with myself, Johnny Campbell, where I explore the landscapes of Northern England with a fair share of walking, music, and guests along the way. For this guest podcast, I've given free rein to musician, activist, broadcaster, poet, and washing machine engineer, Joe Solo. It would take a whole episode just to list Joe's albums and achievements, so I'll keep it very brief with a mention of We Shall Overcome, which was an idea born from the aftermath of the 2015 general election, and here are the stats. We Shall Overcome was a weekend of events in October 2015. 250 gigs in 123 towns across 8 countries on 3 continents, which raised an estimated £125,000 for those worst affected by austerity. What was supposed to be a yearly act of solidarity across We Shall Overcome weekend in October grew into something else and has raised well over £500,000 so far for those hardest hit by austerity. Lockdown has proved difficult for physical and real world We Shall Overcome events as we're forced to be a little bit more creative. We Shall Overrun is a tag team event to run, walk, cycle or move by any physical means necessary 24,901 miles. This is the virtual distance around the earth at the equator. Now they're going on further, across the poles. As Joe says, you can't lock down solidarity. And I'll leave you with Joe taking you on a journey around Scarborough's P-Zone Park.
It's my aim to leave this world a better place than when I found it. The famous words of Harry W. Smith, Scarborough's borough engineer at the turn of the last century. Hello there, I'm Joe Solo, and today I'm going to be taking you on a brief tour of Smith's greatest legacy, one of North Yorkshire's finest landmarks, Scarborough's P-Zone Park. 4 generations of my family have now walked through these trees and around this lake. I was first brought here by my granddad in the 70s and then in turn by my mum and dad when we holidayed up here. Then, after I'd married a Scarborough lass and actually moved to the town, it fell on me, in turn, to take my kids around the place and show them the same sights that I'd seen all them years before. We did that religiously every Sunday morning while Mrs. S got a well-earned lie-in. Today, P-Zone Park's a 25-minute walk from my front door. So as I set off down Woodland Ravine, I entered the park, really at the top end of the glen, where the graveyard is. And as I saunter down the little hill to the steps, the first landmark I see is the stone cairn that commemorates the victims of the bombardment of Scarborough, when, on the 16th of December 1914, at 8 in the morning, the German Navy launched an attack on Scarborough's civilian population. Or so history would have us believe. Like all facts of history to do with warfare, it's not necessarily what it seems. Remember, Scarborough bore all the propaganda posters at the time, encouraging young men to go and fight in that bloodbath at the trenches. But subsequently, historians have analysed the shell patterns, and according to popular conception, far from being a random and arbitrary attack on the town's civilian population, the German Navy had actually targeted 3 radio posts that were embedded into Scarborough's town. Like everything to do with war, a lie compounds a lie. They're all kind of based on truth, but before you know it, you aren't quite sure which is which. And at the end of the day, it was like everything to do with wars. It's Germans' ruling class sending German working class people to kill English working class people to get at the English ruling class. Nothing to see here. But it's certainly a poignant reminder of a significant part of the town's history. As we wander through the graveyard, it's easy to spot by the dates on the stones that this graveyard itself was started around the same time as Pezone Park was being developed. The gravestones all bear dates of the very early part of the 20th century. But like every graveyard, it's not the names on the stones that I feel. It's all the souls whose families couldn't afford headstones. And as I walk through any graveyard in the world, I always feel the same sense that at my shoulder is a nameless army of the forgotten dead. Or crying through the ether to be remembered like them whose names are on the stones. Not that it does them much good, subsequent generations forget all about you. That's the natural order of things. And the stones get kicked over and left higgledy-piggledy, some laid flat on the ground, some leaning at precarious angles, all weathered, with the paint etched into the letters, kind of weeping down the stone, as if it's kind of mourning the memory of memory itself. That's a bit deep for today, so we'll move on. Pezone Glen is the path that runs down from the graveyard to the lake itself. And to your right, you've got the stream rushing away at this time of year with the rains from the hills. You've got blackbirds skittering along on the ground, tails aloft, territorial, arguing with each other over who gets the best nest. You've got the wood pigeons hooting away in the trees, the squirrels tamed, checking you out, see if you got any food for them. There's plenty of kids and dog walkers who will stop and do that service. But my mission lies in the park itself. So we move on over the little bridges, down through the mock Japanese architecture, to the business end of Pezone Park, the boating lake, the waterfalls, and the island. That island will always remind me of my granddad. See, back in the 70s, there used to be a booth and a charge to cross that bridge and get onto that island. And my granddad being my granddad, we never got to go. It was rumoured he would walk 5 miles rather than pay for parking. His idea was that he already paid road tax. He already owned that parking spot, and why would he pay for it twice? In many ways, I think of him fondly as some kind of prototype anarchist with his own version of whose streets, our streets. But in reality, he probably was just a cheapskate. Either way, it was brilliant when they made it free and I finally got to go over that bridge and see that island with my own kids about 10 years ago, aged 40. It was quite something to behold. And it was wonderful to do it and to see them running around that island and playing their chasing games and all that business. It was the stuff that memories are made of. As testament to Harry Smith's idea, you see, Smith, he was old school, the sort of capitalist who realised that if you gave the town a beautiful character, people would come here. And if you gave them something free to do, it wouldn't just be exclusive to people who could afford it. Everybody would come here. And the knock-on effect of that would be that everybody would spend their money in the town. It's the long game, I guess. Nowadays, if they built Pezone Park, they'd charge you to get in, and there'd be a gift shop full of logoed memorabilia to remember your trip by. I've been to Pezone t-shirts. You know the stuff. But Smith, yeah, he was old school. He just made this beautiful place because he knew that would make people come here. And he was right. So, as we wander round the lake, past the boats that sat idle, waiting for the whole town to kick back to life again, after this lockdown stuff has finished and real life comes back, we go past the bandstand, and we work our way back up Payzone Glen. And I remember that for the 3 or 4 years when my kids did want to go out with their old dad, we would do the tree walk. They planted a whole bunch of exotic trees when the park was refurbed in the early 2000s after years of neglect. The input of lottery money and some great local initiatives meant that the park was redesigned, brought back to life. Kind of the way that Smith had imagined it all them years ago when he looked at that horrible bit of scrub and marsh and farmland and allotments that they called Tucker's Field and imagined something grand and beautiful. So, every Sunday morning, I would get the kids to tell me what that tree was called and what that tree was called and what that tree was called, and we'd play this game as we went back up the glen. And I look for it today, and I realise that I'm looking for the twiggy shrubs that were there 10 years ago. And I'm looking for the wrong things because they're unrecognisable now as full-grown trees. And I'm looking for the world as it was a decade before, and I can't find it. And that, yeah, it is a metaphor for my kids growing up. But at the end of the day, that's what time does. It moves away. It turns you into the father and someday the grandfather who'll take his grandkids on this same path and refuse to spend any money. Because I'm from a generation of Yorkshire cheapskates. Well, as I walk back up Payzone Glen, I'm reminded that I wouldn't have agreed with Smith on too many things. But on that one thing, I can absolutely respect and salute him for. I want to leave the world a better place than when I found it. I think you did that, Harry. And you know what? If we all did that, it'd be something, wouldn't it?
That was Joe Solo there, taking us on an audible amble around Payzone Park. Join the We Shall Overrun Facebook group, get involved and support the GoFundMe link, which allows We Shall Overcome Central, the station in Ashton Underline, to continue doing its valuable work. You can find out more on the links provided. See ya.